But listen, you might not be a mother. That doesn't remove you out from motherhood. You might not have a natural birth. But I believe, I know for a fact, every woman birth, born naturally, has the mother instinct. And I know many of you, if not all of you, you've got spiritual children. Maybe you don't have your own birth child. I know today could be a very difficult day, a very difficult day for some people because they had a bad mother. You know? But it doesn't matter if your mother was good or bad. If you are alive today, it's because she didn't abort you. Can I have a better amen? You know, that's a perspective. So it doesn't matter if she was a good mother or a bad mother. If I am alive, I thank God for her. So for the next 30 minutes, I want to take this time to encourage you, but also to talk about women of hope who had hope in the Lord. I mean, when I search the Bible, there's tons of them. Women who were hopeful, you know. So listen to what it says in Ephesians. You don't have to go there, okay? I want you to focus on me today and listen. This is the first day. I mean, you can take notes, but this is the first day. You don't have to open your Bible. I put it on the screen for you. Because they put me in certain time, you know. It's like the food's getting cold. But let's eat the food, the spiritual food first, all right? This food's hot. This food's hot, man, I tell you. It's always hot. It's always hot, right? Always hot. So listen to what it says here. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. For those of you who remember, I told you the first time I read this verse in the Bible, I took my pen and went over the word father because I had a terrible father. So I accepted that verse, but for me, when I read this, I'm like, no, there's no way I'm going to honor my father because he was a terrible father. I did that. And I know today some people might be like, man, why are you bringing this to our attention? It says, children, obey your parents, for it is right. And it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So there, when you study the Bible, there's between 613 to 660 some commandments, laws. And the word of God's telling us between those, among those 600 laws, there's only one that comes with a for sure promise on this earth is to honor parents, honor your mother and father. I mean, if your parents are gone, you know, to heaven, you know, they pass on. Okay, but I tell you, any one of us here who still have living parents, it doesn't matter what they've done. Forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them, you will die before your time. This is not my word. This is the word of the Lord. It says that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. And then it doesn't stop there. I like this part because it says fathers. In the word fathers, I see mothers, parents. It says, do not provoke your children. When you study this word provoke, you also find abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse. So it's not right for us parents to abuse our children. I know somebody right now that I'm dealing with, I'm trying to help, and I pray for them. I said, man, you got to forgive your mother. They've got this long list. They're like, well, this afternoon I'm going to find out if they call their mother, if he calls his mom. Because, I mean, that's a great opportunity to reset the button, press the reset button. You know what the reset button is? Mom, I'm sorry, I forgive you. Mom, I'm sorry, I forgive you. You know, let's not talk about what happened, but let's, you know what? You're my parent. That's what delivered me from bitterness. I was bitter for years towards my parents. But I didn't choose my parents. I didn't choose my siblings. See, now I choose my wife, she chooses me, and we form a family. The children God gave me, He didn't choose them. God gave us them, He gave them to us. So we are forever committed. There's no divorce in the family. I know family, they divorce each other. Mother divorced their daughter. I mean, not divorce, but you know, it's like separation. God hates abuse. He hates divorce. He hates disunity. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up into the in the training and admonition of the Lord. Next verse, 1 Peter chapter 3. There's so much here, but let's compress it. It says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe the chaste conduct accompanied by fear. But this fear here is not, I'm afraid of my husband. No, it's talking about the fear of the Lord. God hates abuse. Now, let me go. There's so much here, but there's so much here. It says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person in your heart, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit. Your real you is your spirit. You have a soul, you live in this tent. So it's saying here, take care of your spirit. Verse 5, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husband, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, called him Lord. I know nowadays no women would call their husband Lord. But I'm not telling you to go call your husband Lord. That's not what the Bible is saying. But as for me in my house, my wife is my queen. And I am her Lord. Let me keep reading. It says, Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. Whose daughters are you, women of hope? Whose daughters are you if you do good and not afraid with any terror? And a word for husband. This is still First Peter. It says, husbands, likewise. What does likewise mean? Also, in the same way. Likewise is usually used to introduce a point similar. What was the point? The first point. Women, submit to your husband, right? And the guys be like, Pastor, you tell her. Yeah, you better tell her. A good sermon. Amen. Let me break it to you, brothers. Kingdom honor. That's why it says here, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Give honor. The word honor here in the Greek means you treat them with great respect. You treat them with special attention. So, I tell you, young guys, my son, I'm teaching my son. I mean, whoever is going to marry this guy is going to find a good husband in him. And we pray for a good wife. Because he's seeing how I have learned how to treat my wife with honor. That's what it says here. So true submission is submitting to one another in a relationship, in a marriage relationship. To honor someone means to treat them or regard them with special attention and respect. Husband, I'm going to read it again, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife, so as the weaker vessel. Now, notice, it's not saying as more, it's, the wife is inferior. When you compare my wife's physical body to mine, she's weaker. Now, there might be some other women who's stronger than me. You see the balance? But then a lot of people use this verse to banish the women. To tell them, I even heard this week one guy said Jesus didn't die for the women. Guys, it's kind of funny to say that. I heard it with my ears. I heard it. They say that in Haiti all the time. I hear this. Oh yeah, I heard. I'm like, what? Lord, have mercy. So likewise, guys, because I believe a changed life speaks louder and clearly, and it's often the most effective way to influence our families. So women, I know this is Mother's Day, but I'm not talking about mothers. I'm talking about ladies. You ladies, you are women of honor. You are women of character, young, teenagers, old, whatever your age. You see, now when Peter says for the ladies to not wear, to make themselves beautiful, not only with outward things, he's not telling us for women to be invisible and unattractive. I am 120% against the spirit that wants to mix the ladies plain. It's like you get the lady, you give them a gray dress, and then you tell them, cover your head and shut up. Excuse my expression. That's not godly. That's not the heart of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, he who loves his wife loves himself. And I know us guys, we spent money on our toys. So if you're here, you have a wife, you better make sure she's beautiful. You better make sure she's emotionally taken care of. Because it says here, in the same passage, don't go there, it says, treat your wife with respect. It says, honor your wife as the weaker vessel and being heirs together of the grace of life that your prayers may not be hindered. So if anybody, children, husband, including wife, if you want God to listen to you when you pray, I can't be mistreating my wife or my mother and think, I'm so good with God. If I'm good with God, I must be good with my wife. I must be good with my mother. It doesn't matter what she did. I don't have time. I can give you 1 hour worth of stories of things my mother did recently. I still forgive her. Why? Not because I want to, but I have a choice. I choose to. And that sets me free. And I'm watching my siblings dealing with the same thing. I said, guys, get rid of that poison. You die before your time. Because you can't curse your mother. It doesn't matter what she did. You cannot curse her. Proverbs 31 verse 30. Today would be a good day for this verse. If you go to my next slide. It says, charm is deceitful. Beauty does not last. But it's not just for the woman. It's for the men as well. But this is my revelation. When I look in the mirror right now, I'm still handsome. Now, I'm not boasting myself, okay? My mother says I'm handsome. It's my mother, okay? I'm not boasting, okay? My brothers and sisters. And my wife says I'm handsome, okay? I'm saying this with a lot of humility, okay? But when I look in the mirror, when I was younger, I could be like, man, I used to be more handsome. But not really. When I was younger, handsome. Now, I'm 47. The older I get, I'm going to be an older, handsome man. Because I know some of you ladies, you look in the mirror, and I tell my wife, I said, please, don't ever tell. You know, you complain about your wrinkles. You complain about your gray hair. I love you like that. You're the woman of my youth. So when I married her, we were 20. You know, we were 22, something like that. So, I mean, we've been together for 25 years. So, of course, she's going to remain the woman of my youth. So, when you look at yourself, you're like, man, I'm too ugly. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too this. I'm too that. Man, you're just killing the guy. You know? So, then this is where it comes for us guys to continually telling our mothers, our wives, the women in our lives, you know, you're beautiful. You know? They say when men go through midlife crisis, they go and buy crazy stuff and they try to change their wife. We can't do that because it's never greener on the other side. It's never greener on the other side. Today, this is not a day for you to condemn yourself if you're a mother and you've made some mistakes. Today is a day to look at the cross, to say, you know what? The old has gone. Thank God, man, now I got a revelation how to be a good mother. Yeah, because it happened even in my own life. You know, the Bible talks about submission. Submission is voluntarily cooperating with someone. First, out of love and respect for God, and out of love and respect for the Lord. So I submit to my wife. Why? Because I submit to Jesus. A lot of people, they forget about the verse 21 in Ephesians chapter 5. They focus a lot on the verse 22, chapter 5 of Ephesians, where it says, women, submit. But then, verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for the Lord. So I submit to my wife. Oh, who is the authority in the house? Oh, I am. Who's got the last word? It depends. You see, because now I'm not living by the law. I live by the Spirit. Because there are certain areas in my life, if I would be like, I'm the man, this is what's going to happen. Man, we wouldn't even have a marriage. I remember we were having some issues with my oldest daughter. I mean, I was mad. She rejected me. She cursed. She said crazy things about me. I was so mad. I felt hurt. I'm like, you know what? I disown her. I said it. I said, I disown her. I'm not going to do this. I'm mad. You know when you're mad? You know, you just go inventing. And then my God sent good wife. She looked at me. She's like, are you sure you want to say that? Are you sure? Are you sure you wanna? And I'm thinking, she might be right. But I don't wanna admit it. I don't wanna admit that she's right, but I'm thinking, she might be right. I said, I don't remember what I did, but that word, once again, by the Spirit. At that time, she had authority to say, honey, are you sure you wanna do that? And I thank God for her. Submission, to submit to another, to another's authority means to willingly giving yourself. That's why for those of you who are not married, do not get unequally yoked. Young guys, or even young adult, if you maybe you were married and things didn't work out and you want to get married again. Don't go out there in the world and find somebody in the world and think you'll be able to drag him in the presence. If you don't find someone in the Lord who loves God more than you, guess what? It's not going to work. That marriage is not going to work. So Christian submission never requires us to disobey God. Remain in an unsafe situation. The next one. Christian submission never requires, because there are four levels of authority. God is the authority, supreme authority. And you've got the word of God. And then you've got your conscience for people who have been born again. Your conscience is regenerate. And then you have people. Biblically, in the family of God, submission must be mutual. You submit to one another. You submit. It's not just husband and wife. It's family. Because maybe some people, their aunt is a mother figure in their life. So when Peter is saying women are weaker, he's not talking about mental or emotional. Because sometimes you find stronger emotional women than men. Yes, you do. And I want to finish with this. I believe, and I saw it this week, I studied it. You can click to the next one. Womenhood is under attack more than ever. Anybody sees that in our world? There was a story in the news back in 2022. So what happened was, they were getting ready to appoint a Supreme Court nominee. And one of the senators during the hearing asked the Supreme Court nominee, "Can you please define a woman?" So to be politically correct, she said, I quote, "I can't. Not in this context, because I'm not a biologist." The meaning of a woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give a definition, the senators asked. You see, now, that kind of question hit on nearly every political hot button issue, from critical race theory that they're teaching our children to gender identification. Because all of a sudden, now everybody, you know, if I wake up today, I don't feel like a man, I want to feel like a woman. That doesn't work. You can change your sex functionality, but I can't change the fact that I was created a man. So for the Supreme Court nominee to remain politically correct, she gave into what I personally call the nonsense mindset. The Bible calls it the worthless mindset. Guys, it's not my word. I took it from the Bible, from the Passion Translation. This is what it says. Romans chapter 1 verse 28. "And because they thought it was worthless to embrace the true knowledge of God," because people thought it's worthless to embrace the true knowledge of God, "God gives them to a worthless mindset." So therefore, you got somebody who's in our Supreme Court, the high court of the land, to remain politically correct, can't define what a woman is. And she knows what a woman is. She is a woman. But she was afraid, because there's this wave of being politically correct. Now let me break it to you. Wow, I feel like preaching. Let me break it to you. If I want to remain correct, I want to remain correct to the word of the Lord. I want to remain correct. That's why I'm calling you ladies. Be women of valor. Be women of honor. If you have a woman in your life, your aunt, your grandmother, honor her. Stuff like that boils my heart, my blood, because that's the world we live in. And we must teach our children the right thing. Think about that. Today it's time to celebrate women, your aunts, your sisters, your daughters, your grandmothers, your meemaw. I don't know. I've heard kids calling their grandmother meemaw, greenmouse. What are the terms they have? Mama. Mama is good. But I've heard some crazy things, you know. You know, I mean, when I'm a grandparent, I'm going to be grandpa. Grandpa. Oh, grandpa. You know, I don't want to be called by any kid Grimby. You know. But I tell you, this is what we believe. We believe God created female and male. And I believe when we start messing around with biological sex of people, I mean, we're messing with God's image. Because I believe what the scripture says. The scripture say God created them male and female. So I'm not going to overwrite what the Bible says. And ladies, as you face this world, be women of honor. Be the daughters like Sarah. You know, the world's going to wants you to put some kind of image on. It's crazy. Everybody wants to remain young. I mean, I feel sad. I used to laugh, but not anymore. You see this 70-year-old lady, she go and get a facelift. But it doesn't work with her neck. I know nobody wants to talk about this, okay? Nobody wants to talk about this. I know, nobody wants to talk about this. But instead of remaining a beautiful 7-year-old, with your gray hair, exercise, eat well, take care of your spirit, get rid of bitterness, forgive people, laugh a lot, and be a joyful older woman, they're trying to go back to 25. It won't work! And then, of course, you live in a generation. The generation wants to discard the old people. You old, go in the corner. It's all about the youth. It's all about this. No! That's not the kingdom of God. All nation, all age. I tell you, do not get into this worthless mindset. And I said, be aware of the worthless mindset. So in conclusion, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8, it says, finally, all of you be one mind, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, tender-hearted, be courteous, not with returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit what? A blessing. You know, like I said at the beginning, today might be a hard day for a lot of people because they despise the word mother. But my conviction is, if you're still living, you owe that to someone. Whether you know her or not. So ladies, please, as you continue to this next year, today is your day. Whether you are a birth mom, but man, just think about the many nieces and nephews, children in church, children maybe at your job, people that you are impacting. Okay? And if your mom has passed on and she was a good mom, and today might be a sad day for you as well, be hopeful. She left you a great example.